Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
What is church and why is it important? There's a lot of different concepts and definitions of what a church is and how a church should function in today's culture. Today with Paul Chappell on Daily in the Word, we're going to look at God's original plan for the local New Testament church. Stay with us. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Today, we study a series entitled, I Will Build My Church. What is church? What did God mean when he made that statement? And how has it been redefined and reappropriated in today's culture? A lot of things, a lot of different institutions use the word church that don't really align with Jesus' original statement, I will build my church. And so, what is church? Why is it important? And how does that matter for your life? You're in store for a great treat as we study the local church. I want to invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Lots of resources for your spiritual growth when you follow us at dailyintheword.org. Today, we study real relationships, Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 18. Here's Paul Chappell.
Wouldn't it be great if Christians would learn how to do that in the family and in the church? I mean, just to go like, just say, hey, Joe, I want to tell you something. I want you to know, Joe, that I heard what you said yesterday over there and it offended me. And Joe would say, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Yeah, I'll forgive you. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. You say, Pastor, why are you having a puppet show in the adult service? Because when I see adults that don't handle things properly, it reminds me of the children in the Sunday school. Right? So the next time you're tempted to get ticked off and make a small matter bigger, let's remember our puppet show, boys and girls. All right, never mind. Okay, here we go. Now, so God says, I want you to go one-on-one to the person. Hey, look it. Let me help you with something. You know, before we would ever administer corporal punishment to our children, and we did, but before we ever did, I always made sure that I spent ample time in prayer first. I didn't want to go off in there just demonstrating physical power and authority and, you know, being some kind of a big shot and maybe hurt one of my children. In fact, it hurt me deeply if I had to discipline my children. But let me tell you something. When you come into a meeting like this, make sure you're prayed up and that your heart is right. Make sure you're tender. Make sure that you're approaching it in the right way. One-on-one. Sometimes, secondly, you have to go with a witness. Maybe you go to somebody and you say, man, I hate to come to you with this, but I saw you in a compromising position with a certain situation. She wasn't your wife. And maybe the guy says, hey, nobody telling me what to do. And you had a right spirit. Maybe you have to go find a deacon or assistant pastor or a godly man and say, man, I hate to ask you, but I've got to have your help with the situation. And you go with witnesses. 2 Corinthians 13:1. This is the third time I'm coming to you in the mouth of two or three witnesses. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Sometimes it even goes to the church. Verse 17 says, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as unto the heathen man and a publican. Now, oftentimes, as it's coming to that point, someone has either already gotten right. I think 99% of the time, it ought to be dealt with right in the one-on-one. But sometimes it might be escalating. And normally, but before it escalates to that point, you pray that someone repents and makes things right. Sometimes someone is long gone before you can ever deal with it in the church, so to speak. But God says, look at this is my plan. And I want you to understand, Jesus loves every Christian. He loves wayward Christians. He loves the heathen. But habitually sinning people, continually filled with bitterness, must sometimes face the loss of fellowship in order to realize that they must repent and they must turn from their wicked ways in order to bring the testimony of Christ right and make it right in the church. And the Apostle Paul spoke of this in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 13. He said, but them that are without God judgeth, therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. So what do you do with someone who willfully offends? How do you handle that? And I want to tell you, friend, you go to them and you speak to them in love and you bring the need and then you reconcile so that you can gain a brother. Hey, it's not about proving you are right and they are wrong. It's about gaining a brother. It's about keeping the church strong to the glory of God. Sometimes there's going to be a willful offense and God says, here's what I want done in my church. My church is the highest authority I have on earth for these spiritual matters. Notice secondly, there's a second category you might run into in your spiritual life. And that is the wayward brother. A wayward brother. This is not merely an offense of someone that did something like pick on your kid or toilet paper your house or something like that. This is going to be someone that's away from the Lord. And let me tell you something that you might want to remember from Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1. Notice what it says. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, on the one hand, we had an offensive brother, someone that did something wrong. On the other hand, we have a brother. He's not doing something against you in the church. He's not offending you particularly, but he's walking away from the faith. He's going back into a life of sin. He had not touched crack cocaine for 6 months. He had been faithful to his wife for 16 years. Suddenly, everything seems to be exploding. And sometimes when that happens, Christians don't know exactly what to do. And certainly, we should be concerned for the testimony of the church. But what about being concerned for someone whose life is really going away from God? Well, God says, first of all, I want you to restore those people. I want you to keep loving them. Verse 1, the Bible says, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. God says, I want you to be careful in the process. I want spiritual men to be involved in this. If you're just a few months removed from your drug habit, it may not be best for you to go down there and try to get them out of it. You may need to get someone in your class that's been saved a long time. And the Bible does tell us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. How many of you believe the devil is not happy that people are in church serving God, and he's going to do anything he can to destroy them and take them away? And that happens every single day. And that's why the body needs to function properly. And we need to go to those who fall by the wayside. And we need to restore them from two things. Number one, from Satan's trap. The Bible says a brother is overtaken in a fault. Something that he's caught up into like a trap. Maybe he wasn't premeditating breaking his wedding vows. Maybe he never thought of taking that drink of vodka. It wasn't what he woke up thinking about, but he is in a trap. And the Bible says we need to go to them. Secondly, we need to restore them from Satan's trauma. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, that means he has lapsed, he is under some type of deviation from the truth. God says, I need you to go to that one and restore him in a spirit of meekness. Hebrews 12 and verse 1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, the Bible says, lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. God says, I want you to lay aside sin. I want you to lay aside weight. And what a joy to run our race with one another in the church, in the Christian life. But every once in a while, someone, because of weight and sin, falls by the wayside. And God does not want his church going, I knew that would happen to him. God does not want his church saying, look at that guy, he's not as good as me. By the way, a wise Christian would say, but for the grace of God, that is me. God wants us to reach down and say, hey man, don't ruin your marriage. Come on, buddy. Come on, come back to the fellowship of God's people. God wants us to say, look, you need to turn from that. Come on, I'll help you. And sometimes they might say, no, the church, no one wants me at church. They don't know how bad I am. Somebody say, come on, hey, but for the grace of God, that's where I'd be. And sometimes they might say, well, the church is a bunch of hypocrites anyways. I know somebody who did the same. Hey, it's not about someone else. This is about you right now. Come on now. Restoring someone. Instructing them in meekness, the Bible says, that oppose themselves, you see. And from the trap and trauma of Satan. And so God says, I want you to restore the wayward. Secondly, he says, I want you to reinforce the wayward. I want you to reinforce them. Now notice that in Galatians 6:2 it says, bear ye one another's burdens. Would you say that with me? Bear ye one another's burden. And sin is a burden that brings people down. They need to repent of that sin, but they need us to help them, to reinforce them, to bear the burdens with them. Turn, if you would, in your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 14. And let me share with you what the Bible says about different kinds of trials and how to respond to them. 1 Peter 4, 14. It says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Now let me just stop right there. If you, because you prayed for your lunch at work, are persecuted, then God says, that's a good thing. God says, you've been a faithful witness. God says, it's not a shame to suffer for living for Jesus Christ. But look at the next verse. But let none of you, speaking to the Christians, let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Now God says, when someone is involved in committing such deeds, they're going to suffer. There's going to be difficulty in their life. Now look right here for just a moment. I can't remove, and you can't remove, all the consequences of that suffering from someone's life. Hey, if someone goes back into drugs and it affects their health, there's not a lot that I can do about that. If someone finds themselves suffering some consequences because of something they've committed, we may not be able to stop all of the suffering, but we can do our best to encourage them in their time of suffering. And we can do our best to bear some burdens by praying for them, by letting them know God still loves you and God's going to see you through and God's grace is sufficient. Romans 15 and verse 1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. There was a woman by the name of Jean Nidetch. Jean lived in New York City. She was a homemaker. She weighed 214 pounds. She was frustrated with her health. It was a burden to her for a number of reasons. She went to the city health department. She asked for some assistance. They gave her a diet that had been created by Dr. Norman Joliffe. She took this diet. Jean went home and she followed it meticulously. And she did really well, but she could not lose the last 50 pounds the doctor said she needed to lose. And so she called some of her friends together who were in a similar predicament. And all of them began to discuss this diet from Dr. Joliffe. They began to encourage each other in this particular diet. And slowly the pounds continued to come off and victories were won. Today, 28 years later, Jean Nidetch's group has grown from 7 to over 1 million members who have now joined Weight Watchers and who find encouragement and help losing their weight through that program. Someone asked Jean, what's the secret to your success? She said, I don't really know, except I always think back to when I was a child looking at the parks of New York City. I would go to the parks and mothers would be there and they'd be swinging their children. And she said, sometimes I would just go and give a little push to the children. And it was always amazing to me that with that little push, they'd start moving their little legs and rocking their backs back and forth. And pretty soon they'd be swinging all on their own. And she said, what I discovered is that some people in life just need that little push. And I'm saying that when someone commits something that is an egregious situation and there's consequences that they're facing, they're not suffering because they were so good, yet God still loves them even when they were so bad. God says, I want you to go to them with my grace and love, and I want you to bear their burden up, and don't let the devil tell them they're worthless, and help them to continue on. God says, when someone is willfully offending you, go to them in love and apologize to them in love. And God says, when someone is wayward and they're far away from me, God says, don't treat them like they're worthless, because their worth is based on their birth, and they are still my children. And then notice thirdly, a third group, and I want to quickly show you some things about this third group. This third group are what I call the willing servants. The willing servants. Now, after a quarter of a century of pastoring here nearly and 25 or 30 years of preaching, one of the things that I have noticed about this matter of good, willing servants, and about this matter of relationships, is that sometimes in life and ministry, we spend the vast majority of our time on those that are always in the middle of a problem or a crisis, and that's okay. But I want to say this morning, we should not neglect those that, like an ever-ready battery, just keep on going for Jesus Christ. We should have a right relationship with those willing servants of God. And I want to say today about those faithful ushers and those nursery workers over there taking care of the kids. How many of you have a child in the nursery? Just let me see right now. That's who I'm talking about, those faithful workers there. That choir member that sat down next to you. That person in your class that's just encouraging and they're there. I want to tell you that God wants us to respond rightfully to them too. They need a couple of things. First of all, they need edification. They need to be lifted up. Hebrews chapter 13, the Bible says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man will do unto me. You know, they need from the Word of God to be reminded that God is their helper, and God is going to help them. And someone say might be here today and say, you know, Pastor, I may not always be in the middle of a crisis conference. I may not always be going back to the old sins, but I'm just trying to be faithful. And I want to tell you what, that's a blessing, and we need to edify that person and encourage that person, and it needs to come from the people of God. Notice it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. God says, I want you to lift each other up. I want you to tell your Sunday school teacher once in a while, thanks for that lesson. I want you to tell the one in the parking lot, I want you to wave and be nice. And I know there might be an usher that told you to sit where you didn't want to sit, but I want you to tell him thank you anyways. You know, sometimes in life, I think all of us can get kind of a spirit of expectation. And I understand it. It's a consumer mentality. How many of you are like me? When you go to a restaurant, you kind of expect somebody to show up and give you something to drink. Yeah. But sometimes some of the most obnoxious customers can be Christian customers. Sometimes our spirit with the places we do business and even in church can be, hey, I'm here. Come on. Give me some service now. Look, I'm having a family crisis. You probably don't even know why. Yes, I do. Just looking at you, I figured it out. If you were in my family tree, I'd be jumping out as fast as I could. The attitude is, hey, I'm here. Let's do something about this. But what about looking at that willing servant and just endeavoring to be a blessing up front? Hey, how about before she ever serves you today at Hometown Buffet or wherever you have lunch today? How about if you say, thank you for being here and serving today? You know, that little lady probably doesn't want to work on Sunday. By the way, when you leave the gospel tract with your good tip, she might even read the gospel tract. No one's going to read the gospel tract from a grumpy Christian. That's not in my notes, but I can tell some of you need this right now, so I'm just going to talk about this a little bit. Some of you are like, tips? Gospel tracts? What's he talking about? I'll have to come back to that later. I'm just saying, we need to edify people. We need to edify those nursery workers. Some of you that have kids in the nursery, you need to say to that nursery worker today, you're doing a good job, thank you. Thank you for that music in the choir today. Thank you for being an usher today. Romans 16, look what Paul says. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. The word succorer means an encourager. Paul said, I want to tell you about Phoebe. She was a great blessing. Ladies, how many of you would love it if in the Holy Bible your name would have been written down because you were such an encouragement? That's the kind of woman she was. Look at verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, you see. He says, I want you to thank these people who helped me so much. You know, folks, sometimes it's just like life just keeps coming at you. It's like the guy that was in the boxing ring having a very difficult match. His trainer got him in the corner. He said, come on, champ, you're doing great. You're doing great, champ. He said, he hasn't laid a glove on you. He's just trying to encourage him. The champ looked at the trainer. He said, man, you better keep an eye on that referee then, because somebody in there is knocking the daylights out of me. Do you ever have days like that where you just feel like they're knocking the daylights out of you? And sometimes you really can't tell anybody much about it. You're just kind of dazed and there. And then all of a sudden someone comes up and says, hey, just keep on keeping on. I sure appreciate it. I'm telling you what, that's what church is supposed to be. A place where people are edified. They need edification. Secondly, we need encouragement. We need to encourage one another. Galatians 6:9 is a verse I've tried to share with our church often. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I'm tired of what's going on in my neighborhood. Don't give up. I'm tired of what's going on in my marriage. Don't give up. I'm tired of this. Hey, don't give up. Let's stay faithful for the Lord. Sometimes we need another Christian to tell us that. I heard about some fellows that were out hunting and just a couple buddies, and one of the guy's names was Davis, and Davis said to his friend, he said, I hate to tell you this, he said, but I thought I'd go ahead and let you be the first. He said, I'm getting a divorce. Man, his friend was shocked. His friend's name was Les. He said, what in the world? What's going on? Davis said, well, for starters, she hasn't said a word to me in 30 days. Boy, Les thought about that. He wanted to be encouraging, wasn't sure exactly what to say. Finally, he said, hey. He said, man, hang in there. He said, good women like that are hard to find. Now, I don't know if that was the right word of encouragement or not, but he was trying. Folks, I'm just saying that we're here in church to kind of encourage each other to stay in the race, right? To edify one another, to encourage one another. And just because someone's always being faithful, listen right here, don't take that for granted. Okay? But let them know you appreciate it. God says when someone willfully offends you, I want you to approach them in the right spirit and reconcile it. God says, I need my body to remain strong. God says when there's a wayward brother and he's out and he's violating the scriptures, I want you to restore him and help bear his burden and help get him back. And God says, by the way, the guys that never seem to be having a problem, they're just always there serving and always there helping. Don't forget to give them a howdy and a thank you once in a while. Don't forget to edify them. What I want you to know this morning, friends, is that God always makes a way for relationships to stay strong. God will make a way when there seems there is no way. God will make a way if we'll follow His Word. And probably the most important thing we need to remember as we close is that we will not have relationships that are right with one another unless we have a relationship that's right with Him. That's why God the Father sent His Son, Jesus Christ, so that we could be reconciled to Him, so that when Jesus shed His blood, our sins could be forgiven, and we could have a relationship with God. And if you say, man, everything doesn't seem right, and I don't know that I have God in my life, it doesn't seem to be working in my family, it may be that for somebody today, the very first step you need to make is a step to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, trusting Him as your Savior. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I just want to stop and thank you right now for the Word of God and how it helps us to understand church and the relationships within the church. I pray that you'd help us to apply these truths to our lives today.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word, teaching and preaching through a series entitled I Will Build My Church. We're taking a look at God's original plan and intent for local church ministry. What is it? Why is it important? And how does it matter for your life today? You can find out more about this series and previous Daily in the Word programs when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You can subscribe to the Launch Out at His Word daily devotional, read through the Bible in a year, and receive a daily word of encouragement from Dr. Chappell and from God's Word every day in your email box. That's completely free of charge. You can also download Daily in the Word and take it with you via the podcast. Place it on your phone, iPod, or computer, or refer a friend to listen to Daily in the Word. All of this and much, much more is found at dailyintheword.org. Dr. Chappell invites you to join him and a host of friends August 9th through 16th, 2014, for a marvelous cruise to Alaska. 7 days of adventure aboard a beautiful cruise ship. You'll enjoy the beauty of God's creation, the fellowship of Christian friends, and some great Bible teaching and preaching. Again, that's August 9th through the 16th, 2014. Now is the time to register and reserve your place on the ship. You can find out more about the cruise and get questions answered when you visit us again at dailyintheword.org. The other thing you can do is give us a call, toll-free. Our number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell personally and follow his ministry, be sure to visit his blog at paulchappell.com. That's paulchappell.com. If you're interested in his books and other resources for spiritual growth, be sure to visit strivingtogether.com. Hey, thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.